Well, we have a very special guest with us this morning, Pastor Masi from Pakistan. And I really don't know what he's going to talk about, but Pastor, come forward and give us God's word, okay? Give him a round of applause, please.
Father, we come to you in the mighty, mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. Lord, I humble myself before your throne. I totally, completely depend upon you. And I ask you, Lord, please, Holy Spirit, help me as I speak. And bless your people this morning, Lord God. Bless them. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Could we bring it up, that, huh?
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yes. I hope. Let's see. Okay. Is it on now?
It's on now.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Okay, so first of all, I want to say thank you very much. A special thanks to Pastor Rick that he considered me to be here this morning. I praise God. And yesterday when I arrived, my friend Greg, he was reading Pastor Rick's book. And I said, can I have a look? He said, you know, sure. You know, so I said, man, this is really nice. You know, because one of my passion is to pray, fast, the spiritual warfare, and that's what I'm teaching to others. And I said, man, this is really, you know, like the Holy Spirit is similar. It doesn't seem like a Lutheran guy writing this book. It's more like a guy like me. It's not like a Lutheran pastor. Yeah. So praise God. So praise God. That's a good thing, you know, we are set free. You know, praise God. The glory to Jesus. My name is Mujahid Al-Masih, which is a taken name. If you have a difficult time to pronounce, you can call me Michael. I have a website, fortheloveofmuslims.org. And we love Muslims, we love all the lost people. And one other thing, this morning, Pastor asked me, do you like Colorado? How about do you, what is pot? You know, do you smoke pot? I said, I don't know what is that. But I know that the marijuana is legal in Colorado. One other thing I said, you know, Pastor, there's no state is perfect. Then I said, you know, Lord Jesus should come. But then I said, you know, if Jesus comes right away, many, many people are going to end up in hell. So not only the worldly people, the people, those who come to church, majority of them are going to end up in hell because they're just coming to punch their cards on a Sunday morning. So we have to make sure that we are really born again and have repented from our sins and walking with the Lord every single day. Praise God. And that's the way it should be. Otherwise, don't think that, you know, because we're born in a Christian family, so-called, people say I'm a born in a Christian family, but, you know, their lifestyle will tell you that they are not real Christian. Other day, Sister Cindy took me to, what is that restaurant called? Vietnamese restaurant. And I start sharing with her my story that, you know, like, for example, here is a person who claims to be a Christian, And here is the Holy Bible. And when you read the Holy Bible and see the life of a Christian, if it doesn't match, doesn't matter how many times he says that he's a Christian, but if his life is not according to the Word of God, he is not a Christian. And he will not be able to go to heaven unless he meets the standard, what the Bible says. And that standard only can be met through the blood of Jesus Christ. And ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit and ask every single day His help. Lord, I want to live a holy life. Amen? So praise the Lord. I have a wife and two daughters. We're living right now in Colorado, and our goal is reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. This morning, as I was sitting here, I was just thinking, how many of you want that Jesus could come early, soon? So what should we do? We start praying and fasting and reaching the lost. The more we will do, you know, the sooner He will come. You know, the problem is not with Jesus. He wants to come right away. The problem is with us because we are lazy. We're not reaching the people.
Yes.
That's the problem. You know, first of all, I think we have to make the Christians Christians. Because they are not really Christians. And one other thing I'd like to share with you, because I'm going to be presenting this, the case for the persecuted church. I wish I could share my personal story this morning, but because it'll be too long, so I'll see how I can do that, maybe in a third service. Yeah.
Muslims outraged over offensive cartoons rampaging through Pakistani streets. This time their anger is directed against Denmark and the United States. But more often than not, when radical Muslims take to the streets in violence, Pakistan's minority Christians bear the brunt, as they did in February in the town of Sukkur. Radical Muslims burned down two churches, St. Mary's Catholic Church and the St. Savior Church. False rumors that a Christian desecrated a Quran, Islam's holy book, triggered the attacks. Meet Pakistanis Mumtaz Bibi, Mohan Shazan, and a female evangelist we'll call Esther. All three were brutally assaulted because of their Christian faith. Each has a story to tell of persecution at Pakistan's brick kilns.
Poor and uneducated, many Pakistani Christians are forced to work in brick kilns like this one. That's where much of the persecution is occurring, especially for those who share their faith with their co-workers.
18-year-old Mohan Shazad grew up at the brick kilns. Like most brick kiln workers, his parents labor from sunrise to sunset making bricks. They earn the equivalent of about $5 for every 1,000 bricks made. Each of them can make about 1,000 bricks per week. On a good week, the family will earn about $10. Mohan says he longed to be used by God. At the urging of his pastor, he began to sell Christian literature at the brick kilns. The publications were bought by Muslims and Christians alike. The Muslim brick kiln owner did not like Mohan's evangelistic outreach.
He urged my father to stop me from selling the Christian literature, and he threatened my father, saying, "If something happens to Mohan, you are responsible for that. I am not responsible."
Last September, as Mohan returned home at sunset, two masked men jumped out from a sugarcane field. One sliced into Mohan's left arm with an axe. Mohan survived the attack, but his arm had to be amputated. He says the attack will not prevent him from continuing his ministry.
This is just a test from God. I've decided to sell Christian literature for the rest of my life. Even if they cut off my other arm, if they cut off my legs and I cannot walk, I'll somehow find a way.
Christian brick kiln worker Mumtaz Bibi was unable to walk for more than a year after being brutally beaten.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be sharing the whole story. You can visit my website and watch the whole story. There's so much persecution going on in Pakistan. I myself was persecuted, and in this sheet you can find a little bit, you know, that in 1997 an entire village of 1500 Christian homes, 13 church buildings, thousands of Bibles were destroyed. You know, this is what happened to me where I was living in that town. And let me tell you, God has really worked in a wonderful way. Those churches
which I started in 1997, that time it was only 14 churches, but those churches have been grown up to 300 churches. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. And now, from 2000 to 2013, according to the reports I have received from Pakistan, we have baptized over 20,000 people in Pakistan. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. That is God, you know, just glory to Jesus. Not, you don't have to clap for me. You know, praise God. It's only He is worthy of all glory, power, and honor. And the work has expanded from Pakistan to India, Sri Lanka. We have 35 Bible schools in Sri Lanka, South Africa, and then United Arab Emirates. So we're working this. So some of you, if you like to go with me overseas, welcome. We can go and preach the gospel and get people saved. Praise God. Pastor Greg, you're welcome. Praise God. A lot of persecution. Like Christians suffer a lot. As you see in this sheet, there are two, you know, both sides are written. What happened to our people over there, because Christians are very, very poor. They are not able to go to school, so they end up working in a brick kilns where they become slaves to these people, the Muslims, because you know, $40 a month they're making, and $20 or $15 will go toward their, you know, the electric bill, and the other $20 they will be using for the grocery. How that gonna work? It's very difficult. So they start borrowing money from the owner and they become slaves. So what are we doing? We are freeing those people. Like this little girl's mother was chopped into pieces and thrown into furnace because the guy wants to marry this little girl. She refused. She said, it cannot be possible because we are Christian and we cannot give our daughter to a Muslim man. That's not going to work. The guy got so mad and he killed the mother. But thank God we were able to rescue her. Since from last 2 years, we have rescued 150 families. Praise God. So just think, you know, minimum people in the family are six. Six members in a family. So if you are interested to, you know, free a family, we will provide you the pictures and all the details. So you can do that. And why we should do this thing? Because the Bible says, Hebrews 13:3, remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, or those who are mistreated as if you yourself are suffering. This Bible verse really taught me how to pray. Sometimes we have heard this, you know, this thing that I'm going to be praying for you. Have you heard that? That is more like a religious slogan. People will say that, you know, they feel good kind of thing. But they forget. I remember it happened to me. When I came to America, when people telling me, oh, I'm going to be praying for you, I kind of got the habit, you know, like, you know, adopted that habit. Then, when I told many people I'm going to be praying for you, then I didn't. I realized, man, I was lying. I shouldn't be doing this thing. And now I say, okay, let me tell you, if somebody tell me, you know, please pray for me, I said, you know, yes, you know, I will pray for you as the Holy Spirit remind me, you know, praise God, you know, and if you really want me to pray, here's my cell phone number, call me, we can pray together, amen, because otherwise, you know, if I forget, and you thinking that, you know, I'm going to be praying for you, you know, please forgive me. And then if I pray, I really want to put myself in your shoes. I'm not just going to be saying, God bless and little prayer. I will go fast and pray and really bombard the heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise God. That's the way it should be. Not just, you know, I was really happy that the pastor was, you also pastor. You know, pastor was not praying from a piece of paper. My goodness. That was ridiculous. You know, because, you know, like, just think about if you have a wife and
And she comes to you, and every time she talks to you, like, from a piece of paper. That's not the way we should be talking to God. I mean, if that kind of church, I don't know if they're going to go to heaven or not. It's like, you will not be marrying that lady because she is mentally sick. You have to have a, because God has given you a heart, a feeling. So you must say out of your heart what you really want to tell Him, because you love Him. I mean, you love Jesus. Well, and you must share your feeling. Hear Him. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. And remember those in the prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. Don't we really, when we're praying for somebody, we must put ourselves in their shoes. Really feel that pain. Ask God, God, take me over there where I could feel the pain of this brother or sister. Not just, casual prayer. Really, deep, deep prayer. That's the way we should be talking to God. And why we should pray for them. Why we should remember them. Because we are the body of Christ. If one part of the body suffer, the whole body suffer. That's the way we should know. We are the body of Christ. Doesn't matter, what language they speak. Doesn't matter what is the color of their skin. Because in heaven, there's no race. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. We are going to be speaking God's language. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. So we must care for one another. We must stand up for one another. That's the way it should be. And also Bible says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. There's so many, explanation I can bring about this verse, about, first of all, those people, those who are in bondage, like they are, those who are lost, we must pray for them because they cannot speak for themselves. Number two, the physically, those people, those are poor, like the people you saw, they cannot, present their case because they are minority, they are persecuted, all kind of things are happening to them. So we should be lifting them up before God and before others, those who care. So this morning, I am presenting those brothers and sisters before you. Hey, brothers and sisters, would you, pray for these brothers and sisters? Would you consider to support them? That's what I'm doing. Then, because Bible says, those who shut the ears to the cries of the poor will be ignored in their own time of need. One other thing I teach, the hindrances in the prayer when you, answering, receiving the answer. One of the, there are so many hindrances when we are praying, in order to receive the answer. One of the hindrances is when we ignore the needs of others. If we don't care for others, when we are praying, our prayer will not be answered. So we must do, others what we want that God will do for us. Amen? Praise God. So really important. His Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And also, we just read this thing. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So one other thing, I think it was the very first week of May, I was invited to speak in a Baptist church for a revival for 4 days. First I asked, Pastor, I'm wondering, do you really mean what it means to be revival, like revival? Because, Baptist church and revival doesn't, it seems like kind of contradictory to me.
You know, the same thing with literature. You know, do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, all those things? He said, I personally believe, but you come, please come. I said, okay, I will come. You know, I went, praise God. And one of the things I was sharing, see, we must stay in the tree in order to bear the fruit. And if you're not bearing the fruit, you know, the master is going to cut us off. Because sometimes people think, hey, you know, I have prayed after the pastor, and now I am a born again. It doesn't matter how I live my life. That's not a biblical. We must bear the fruit. And if there's no fruit in our lives, we are not really born again. Because the Bible says in the church of Laodicea, Jesus said, you are neither, you know, cold nor hot. You are lukewarm. And I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. So what does that mean? Mean that if you're not bearing a fruit, you're going to be gone. Please understand. Sometimes people say, you know, that Jesus said that nobody can pluck you from my Father's hand. Yes, nobody, even Satan cannot harm you as long as you stay in the Father's hand. But if you're not bearing the fruit, the Father is going to kick you out. Not Satan. Amen? This is the truth. They don't really understand what the Bible passage says. And I want to please understand, this is very clear. If we don't have a deeds to prove our faith, we are not really a born-again Christian. Amen? So this is really, really important. We must pray. We must cry before God. God, Holy Spirit. You know, this is my prayer. Lord God, fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Every morning I pray. Every evening I pray. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, let there be a love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, and kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And let these fruit of the Holy Spirit will not be only for a Sunday morning, or for 1 week, or for 1 month, or for one, you know, for 1 year. But it should be forever till I see you face to face, and I'll be entered into heaven. You know, praise God. I want this fruit to stay there, you know, permanently. Because Bible says, you know, this is my Father's desire, that you may bear fruit, and that fruit will remain. Amen. Amen. Remain means stay there. Not for just, you know, for 1 hour or Sunday morning. You know? That fruit should be there permanently. And that fruit should be growing and ripening. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. That's the way it should be. You know, praise God. So same thing. You know, we must take care of one another. Let the people see that, you know, we are really a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, to him it is a sin. We know what is right, and if we're not doing it, then we are sinning. It's a, you know, like one other thing is, I have another problem with the church. You know, I remember I was preaching in a Lutheran church in Nebraska. I have no idea what happened to, you know, that day. This is very interesting. That was the ELCA church. And I have no idea. I start preaching about the homosexual. I said, God, what? You know, what happened? You know, I preach. Huh? You know, I didn't know that the Lord spoke to me to speak this. You know, I preach that. And what happened? And then I said, you know, how many of you have a Bible? So nobody have a Bible. I said, my goodness, what kind of church is this? And then the church got split. You know, and then, you know, the people, majority of the people, they were with me. No, they say, you know, Pastor Masi is doing right, he's preaching the truth. One of the sisters, she raised her hand, she said, Pastor Masih, you're very harsh in your preaching. You know, that is not really a good word. You know, you're making your own interpretation. I said, okay, let me ask you. Sister, are you married? She said, yes. Let me ask you this question. If your husband sleeps with another woman, what you will call that action? She said, he's committing adultery. I said, that is very harsh. You're using very harsh word. Can't you say that he did it just for change? Holy Spirit was present there. He was just giving me. Praise God. You know, everybody who raised their hand were, you know, shot down. Praise God by the Holy Spirit. So then I, you know, the church who got split, you know, they invited me. And when I arrived there, they showed the Bibles on every chair. So praise God. I am glad that you guys got the Bibles. And now we have to read the Bibles. So now they start reading the Bibles. You know, every day we must read the Word of God. Because majority of the people, those who come to church, they don't even know what the Bible says. And if you don't know what the Bible says, how you can pray? Because if you don't know what is written in the Bible, you cannot pray. You cannot have a fellowship with God. Because in order to know your lover, you must read about him. Learn what he likes and what he doesn't like. Amen? It's really, really important. So read your Bible every day. You know, that'll be really important because we know that we should be doing it, and if we don't do it, what are you doing? It's sin. So even Samuel says, if I won't pray, it'll be a sin for me. And this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we have to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has a material possession and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Not just say, God bless you. Let's do more than that. Amen? So that's really important. So I think my time is up, I think. Is that right? Okay. Okay. You know, here you see, this is the world map. You know, the majority of the Christians live here. But that's the area where Christians are suffering the most. They even get killed in those areas for their faith. So what should we do? What is our responsibility as a believer in Christ Jesus? We must pray for them. We must support them. We must stand up for them. We must be their voice. We must, you know, do something. And after knowing all those Bible passages, and if we're not doing anything, what are we doing? We're sinning. That's what the Bible says. So I think you got this card. How many of you got this card? So I would ask you, would you please, you know, remember them in prayer? So please fill out this card with your name and address. That'll be really great. You know, and we will collect those cards at the end. And there are so many other things that will be sent to you via email. You know, like I'm going to be sending you a copy of the Quran, summary of the Quran, especially what is happening in this country, how Muslims are trying to take over in this country. So I want to send you those information that we could start praying for the Muslims. We could start praying for our government, because really important thing that we must pray for our country here and pray for the brothers and sisters. You will start receiving a free magazine from Voice of the Martyrs, so please, don't neglect it, you know, don't ignore it. It's really important. If you really care, you know, what we should do, just fill this out with your name and address and email address. If you're already receiving their magazine, you still can fill it out and just say, I'm already receiving, just send me the other information via email. My books are available, but I'm not going to go into detail of this. I'm just going to share something about, you know, me. I was born in this country called Islamic Republic of Pakistan. That is the official name of that country. 97% people in Pakistan are Muslim. They don't believe in the God of the Bible. Because many people, they say, oh, God of the Muslim, God of the Christian, they both say, no, that's not true. Christians are second-class citizens in Pakistan. They are persecuted, as I already told you. I was born right in the middle of that country, grew up there, and as I was growing up in Pakistan, I was sent in a government school, a public school, where I was forced to read the Quran. I was beaten by my Muslim teacher. Although I was not born in a Muslim family, my parents were nominal Christian, but I was beaten into this thing. I was brainwashed. And let me show you how. Because I grew up very poor, and then my parents were illiterate, uneducated. They didn't know what I'm studying. So when I went to school, this is what I was taught. You know, I was forced to read this language. But what it really says, fight against the Christians and Jews and keep them in a lower position. Christians and Jews are the most evil animals. They will abide in the hellfire. You know, you should not be friends with the Christians and Jews. You know, wherever you find them, must kill them. That's what the Quran says. And if you die in jihad, you know, when you're fighting against the Christians, the Jews, and the idol worshippers, if you get killed or die, you know, you will go to paradise. And in paradise, you know, every Muslim man is going to have 72 virgin wives in paradise, and he will be busy with them 24/7. That was the reward. I'm married. I have one wife. I praise God. You know, sometimes I think, if somebody has 72 wives, it will not be really a paradise. It will be more like a punishment. But one wife is a blessing. Not more than one. I thank God. So what happened to me after completing my high school, I went to college. There I did my pre-medical education. After my pre-medical education, I decided to go in the military for three main reasons. Number one, because in the military, I will be elected as an officer. Then I will be able to, you know, do my medical college there. And government will take care of my, you know, all the fees. And then the third thing, you know, one day if I die in jihad against India or West or Israel, you know, I will go to paradise. But God had a different plan. You know, Pastor Perry was talking about, you know, God is, you know, in your prayer. You're saying, you know, God is meeting so many people in the visions and dreams, you know, around the world. So that's something happened to me. Yes. In the military, one morning, I heard an audible voice. And this voice told me, this is not the right place for me. This job will lead me toward destruction. And many times I had a vision of Jesus Christ. You know, praise God. And then what happened when this voice told me, I prayed. I said, oh God, if this is not your will for me to be in this place, please take me out of this place. Although I loved that job, because on the very first day, I was given the two soldiers to be my servant, to shine shoes and clothes for me. It was really nice. And as you grow in the ranks, you're going to have more privilege and perks and all kind of good things. And then, you know, being a medical doctor, you're going to make a good money, you know. And all those privileges. But when I heard this voice, I prayed, and God made it possible for me to be out of that place. I praise God. And then God led me to a Christian meeting. And there, you know, one night, Jesus found me. You know, he already found me there, but he, you know, became my Lord, my Master, my King. And I said, Lord, I will follow you no matter what. So, praise God. So now I think it's the time. Is it 9 o'clock? Okay. So, okay. So what happened, you know, because when I got saved, I was so, you know, fired up. I was praying. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, yesterday when I was reading your book, I said, man, this guy is really nice. You know, he's like more like charismatic. I was praying in tongues and all those. You know, I said, man, what amazing thing is happening to me. And Now I want to go out and preach. I want to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And I got beaten the very first time when I got beaten. And what happened, you know, the guy who was beating to me, he said, you know, call your God. I'm going to see if he comes to rescue you. Because his children became Christian. And he was mad at me. And when he was beating me, I had no idea what to say. I said, I don't hold anything against you. I forgive you. Because I have read in the Bible, Jesus said, love your enemies and those who persecute you, pray for them. When I said this thing, thank God he didn't kill me. He let me go. And after this meeting, I was very much discouraged. I said, man, this is a very dangerous job to be a preacher. And I started praying, God, could you change my calling? You know, I know how to play music. I know how to play trumpet, a keyboard, and accordion. So I'll be a choir leader. I don't want to be a preacher because it's very dangerous. And somehow when I went to my church, my pastor, he preached about Jonah that Sunday morning. I said, my goodness, that's a scary sermon. I said, okay, God, I will be a preacher. But there's another problem. I know that that's going to be very difficult for you to handle that. You know, I was trying to run away from that because it was so scary thing. And I said, okay, God, you know that I gave up my medical career, all those, you know, stuff. I was planning to make a lot of money. And now you're telling me to be a preacher. How are you going to provide for me? You know, Christians are very, very poor. How are they going to afford to have a pastor? And the Lord said to me, read Matthew 6, 26 to 34. And I read that, oh my goodness. I said, God, I will follow you. I will follow you no matter what. So praise God. You know, God has taken care of my needs for the last 21 years. You know, praise God. I am not in the staff with Voice of the Martyrs. You know, we just live by faith. You know, even when Pastor Rick asked me to come, I didn't ask Pastor Rick, would you pay my plane ticket and would you give me, this is my fee? Did I tell you? Ask you anything? No, God has told me. You know, God will provide. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. You know, and last 21 years, it's my experience with God. And God always has provided. God took me to the Bible college, did my studies in the Bible college, then came back, started the church. And man, a lot of people were giving their life to Jesus. And, you know, like I was, when I was there, I was pastoring 4 churches in Pakistan. You know, almost, you know, our day begin like early in the morning because we like to get up before the Muslim get up for the prayer. You know, because we want to beat them in the prayer. Because they get up, you know, like 5 o'clock, so we want to get up 4 o'clock. So then we slept like 11 o'clock every day. Preaching, going and praying for the sick, all kind of things were happening. So glory to Jesus, so we baptized many, many people. Then we were accused by the Muslim that we have torn the pages of the Quran and written bad things about Muhammad. So they attacked us, thousands upon thousands of Muslims, they attacked us. And they burned down our 1,500 Christian homes, 13 church buildings were destroyed, everything we had were gone. You can see in these pictures, man, this was so scary. They even attack on our animals, like cows and other animals were burned alive by the hands of Muslims that day. And I was in one of the towns which was under the attack of Muslim people. When I saw the mob is coming, they were shouting, kill the Christians, burn the home, destroy the churches. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. I knew that I'm going to be killed this morning. I went on my knees and lifted my hands toward heaven. I said, Father God, if this is the day for me to die, I'm willing to die for you. But help me. When these Muslims come to kill me, I will not deny your name. Because your word says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. And Lord God, your word says, if you confess me before people, I will also confess you before my Father in heaven. And if I'll deny you, you will going to deny me. And Bible says, if you will lose your life for my sake, you know, you're going to gain it. I said, Lord, I am willing to die for you. You know, praise God. You know, thank God, God spared my life. And we went back in our town after 3 days. My younger daughter, she was only 4 days old when my hometown was burned by the Muslims. Older one was 15 months old. It was not easy. You know, and we went back. All of our homes were burned to the ground. Churches were destroyed. Everything. 20,000 people lost their homes,
wow,
you know, that day. And we have a Sunday morning worship service without the church building.
Yeah.
All those 20,000 came to worship Lord Jesus Christ.
But let me show you.
Praise God. Yeah. And the Lord, you know, we prayed. We have nothing against the Muslims. We understand that they are lost and they're doing what seems right in their book. And we must do what is right according to our book. Love your enemies and those who persecute you. Pray for them. That's what we learn from the Bible. Thank God. You know, I know that, you know, if you like to, you know, stay for next service or stay up to third service, I'll give you a whole story how I came to the United States. It's a total miracle. You know, and I think one of my focus is to present more on prayer, because this is the man of prayer, and I really want, you know, to, you know, push this idea how, you know, we can pray and see, you know, God answers our prayer. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you very much. So please fill out those cards. Please, please, please. And if you consider to support those brothers and sisters, those suffering for their faith, please do that. You know, that will be really appreciated. Thank you. Over to Pastor Rick, you know, who said, you know, glory to Jesus. Praise God.
Praise God.
Thank you, brother. Amen.